إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، our book is Fiqh al-Fitan and it was written by Sheikh Sulaiman ibn Salim Allahi al-Ruhaili. We mentioned repeatedly it was actually a lecture he gave. Hafizahullah, Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, he gave a lecture about Fiqh al-Fitan. This lecture is available on the YouTube. The lecture of this book is available on YouTube. So this lecture was transcribed, was written down by some of his students, and it was arranged properly and presented to him. He reviewed it and it was issued out as a book as we have it today. So this is the book we are reading, Fiqh al-Fitan. The asul was a lecture he gave. And there are many books like this. Many scholars have books like this, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. His sharh on al-Aqidatul Wasitiyah was a lecture he gave. They were gathered and transcribed. Likewise, his sharh on Kitab al-Tawheed. Likewise, his sharh on Riyad al-Salihin. Many of them. His sharh on Al-Fiyatu Ibn Malik Finnah was also a lecture that was transcribed. This is very common today, very common. Sheikh Abdul Karim Ibn Abdullah Al-Khudair, he has many like that too. Many scholars have. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ibn Abdullah Al-Sa'd, he has a sharh on Al-Muqidha by Al-Imam Al-Zahabi. The asul of that book was a lecture he gave. Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni, he has an issue now. May Allah protect all of us. His sharh on Al-Muqidha was also a lecture he gave. It was transcribed into a book, very beneficial books. Even though Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni has issues now, he has issues, a lot of issues. May Allah protect all of us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا. So our book Fiqh al-Fitan is one of such books. So he gave about 26 guidelines from the Sharia on how to handle ourselves during the times of Fitan. 26. We are on al-Aslu al-Thalith Ashar. We are on the 13th guideline, the 13th foundation on how does a Muslim handle himself in the circumstance of fitan, trials and tribulations. We had started the 13th guideline, Al-Aslu Al-Thalith Ashar Ko, but we have not completed it. So we go back to where he started. He says, Hafizahullah, min fiqh al-fitani hifzul lisan fiha. Min fiqh al-fitan hifzul lisan fiha, yani fil fitan. From the guidelines, from the foundations the Muslim must stick to in the times of fitan is hifzul lisan fiha. Preserving your tongue in the times of fitna. Don't bring your tongue into the fitna. Don't add a word to the fitna. He says, "Al-mu'minu fi hayatihi kulliha harisun ala alla yakula illa khaira." The Muslim in his life, basically, harisun. He strives. All he does is to strive. Ala an yakula alla yakula illa khaira. He strives not to ever say anything except what is good. The basic thing about a Muslim is that he strives to not say anything except what is good. Wa illa samata. Otherwise, he remains silent. Wa yata'akkadu hadha al-amru fi waqti al-fitan. This issue about remaining silent and only speaking in terms of goodness, it becomes more emphasized fi waqti al-fitan, in the times of trials and tribulation. فإن إطلاق الألسنة فيها أساس الشر المستطير. Because just letting loose your tongue, just letting the tongue loose during the times of fitan, أساس الشر المستطير, it is the foundation for الشر المستطير. It is the foundation for widespread evil. What's the foundation, the grounds for it? What brings about widespread evil going everywhere when you say something? It was one person who said, Bukhari must go in Nigeria. Oh, now it is fitna. One single statement can bring fitna. May Allah protect all of us. وَسَبَبُ الْإِثْمِ الْكَبِيرِ, that single tongue too in the times of fitan could be the reason for al-ismu al-kabir, major sins to be committed. One person will just say, in a mob, say, kill him, and then they kill the person. May Allah protect. Do this, and then they do that. Do this. How many women would have been raped in the times of fitan? So that ism al-kabir, these big sins that will be committed, would come as a result of letting the tongue loose in the times of fitan. Qala Rasulu alayhi salatu wasalam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, whoever truly believes in Allah on the day of Qiyamah, فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا, let him therefore say only what is good. Otherwise, ليسموت, let him therefore be silent. If he wouldn't say what is good, let him be silent. In the last class, we gave us what some of the a'imma have deduced from this hadith. They deduce four conditions for a good speech, for a good statement from this hadith. The one who did that, we mentioned first, was al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. And that's contained in his book, Al-Umm. The second person who said exactly that was Al-Imam Al-Mawardi in his book, Adabuddin wa Dunya. He said exactly what Ash-Shafi'i said, even though he did not ascribe it to Ash-Shafi'i. It is in the wordings of Shafi'i, although he did not say, call Ash-Shafi'i. So they gave those four conditions for us to recognize what is good as far as statements are concerned. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam also said, مَنْ صَمَتَ نَجَى, مَنْ صَمَتَ نَجَى, whoever remains silent, نَجَى, he is saved. What will he be saved from? آفَاتُ lisan. He will be saved from those destructive things that comes from the tongue when he is silent. When you are silent, you did not say anything. So there will not be, oh, he erred in his statement. Oh, he was wrong. Oh, he was right. Oh, this. He didn't say anything. If he was brought to any judge in the world and he was asked in the business, in the witness box, what did you say regarding this? I didn't say anything. In fact, his lawyer in counter cross-examination, he can ask those people, what did you hear him say? And the person will say, he didn't say anything. Najako. But if he said anything, then what he said, they begin to interpret, misinterpret, put on it what it does not mean, add to it, remove from it, then they start asking him, which one of them did you say? Since there's a problem. But it is better for him if he did not say anything. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man somata naja, the one who is silent is saved. Rawahu Tirmidhi rahimahullah. That hadith is the hadith of al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. The first hadith, that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri, falyakul khayra أو اليصمت in hadith that is contained in صحيح البخاري and Muslim. That's why it says متفق عليه. But the second hadith من صام تناجى, it occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and it is a hadith that is Hassan. Many of the scholars declared it Hassan. والحديث يقبل التحسين من صام تناجى. The one who is silent is saved. وعن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قال عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه said قلت يا رسول الله من نجا said I asked messenger of Allah من نجات how does an individual become saved how does an individual become preserved from trials he said عليه الصلاة والسلام أمسك عليك لسانك أمسك عليك لسانك your tongue hold it back hold back your tongue hold back your tongue don't be talking no hold back be reserved in terms of speech وليسعك بيتك let your home contain you jekilere oto ogbe meaning that you will not be moving all around looking for what is not lost waliyasaka baytuk let your home be sufficient for you wabki ala khati'atik then you should cry over your shortcomings cry over your sins cry over your own errors stop talking remain in your home Think about your deficiencies. Weep over them. There is this point here that it means I need to sit down. I need to have some time for myself to sit down to think about my own faults. Do we have that time? The Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wasalam. We all need to sit down. To have time to think about my faults. I need to have time to think about my faults. This hadith, the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir, radiallahu anhu, an Imam ibn al-Banna, that is Abu al-Hasan ibn al-Banna, he has a book, Ar-Risalatul Mugniyatu fi Sukuti wa Luzumil Buyuti. الرسالة المغنية في السكوت ولزوم البيوت. This book contains this hadith. But this Imam was a 4th century scholar of Islam. So he would not say Rawah al-Bukhari or Muslim. No. He is reporting every hadith in the book with his own asanid. Do we understand? Which would mean that the book itself is Masdarun Hadithiyun. Why? Because the author himself has his own asanid. If you say Rawahu Tirmidhi, what you are saying is that Al-Tirmidhi Rahimahullah has reported it with his own isnad. If you say Rawahu Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah, you are saying that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari reports it with his own isnad. So how about the likes of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dunya? He has all his works and he is dependent on his own asanid. So that is Masdar al-Hadithiyya. Most of the works of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dunya are Masadir al-Hadithiyya. One of such works in these kinds of matters is Ar-Risalatul Mubniyya by Al-Imam Ibn al-Banna, Rahimahullah. He's a 4th century of his scholar of Islam. The hadith of Uqba that we have read, he has it in his book. The book is very beneficial. I wish that we could study this book in a gathering like this. It's all about how to keep silent and face your business. Salafi, one of the scholars said recently that kama ta'allamta an-nutqa wal kalam, just as you have learned how to speak and speech, ta'allam sukut, learn how to be quiet. This is one of the athar that has been mentioned by Ibn al-Banna in his work. Learning to be silent. But aside learning to be silent, aside being silent, When the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, Wabki ala khati'atik, weep over your faults. One major thing we will find regarding it is that it means I have to pay attention to my faults. I have to find time to think about my own faults. You have to find time to think about your own faults. And that is what Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbi has been reported by Ibn al-Banna to have said here with his isnad. And the Muhakkik, Hafizahullah, he said, Isnaduhu Hasan. The isnad of this asar on Wahab ibn Munabbi. Who is Wahab ibn Munabbi? Who knows Wahab ibn Munabbi? Who is Wahab ibn Munabbi? One of the students of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Do we know that Abu Huraira had a sahifa? He had a gathering of writings where he used to write a hadith. Do we remember that? Abu Huraira used to write hadith, radiallahu anhu. He will divide his time into three. In the night, he will sleep for a part of the night. He will make qiyamul layl for a part of the night. He would memorize, make muraja'ah, and write down a hadith in the third part of the night. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. The same thing was reported of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma. Those compilations of Abu Huraira, do you know who he gave it to? He gave them to Wahab ibn Munabbi. Abu Huraira gave those compilations that he wrote with his hands from the Prophet. This deen is real. Islam is real. Many times when I'm in Medina and we pass by where we say the Taslim to the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, it will just come to my mind that if you open this place now, that man called Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see him now here. Islam is not conjecture, it's real. So if it is reported, and it is reported that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to write down a hadith, if you ask, so who did he give it to? He gave it to Wahab ibn Munabbi. And some of the a'imma, like Al-Imam Ahmad, saw some of them. Some of them were preserved up to the times of the likes of Al-Imam Ahmad. So Wahab ibn Munabbi is the one who made this statement. Rahimahullah, from amongst the tabi'in. Qala fi hikmati Ali Dawud. He said, from amongst the wise sayings that had come from the people of Dawud alayhi salam, you know, that was a family that was blessed with hikmah, was that haqqun ala al-aqil an takuna lahu arba'u sa'at. Haqqun ala al-aqil an takuna lahu arba'u sa'at. It is duty bound, it is incumbent upon someone who is sensible to bagma, if you are reasonable, you must have four times, four periods. He said, rahimahullah, sa'atun yuhasibu fiha nafsahu. The individual should have some time, yuhasibu fiha nafsahu. He will make account of himself. Salatul Fajr today, how did I observe it? Oh, when did I wake up today? What was the first thing that I said? Then what did I do? Then after that, when did I come into the masjid for Fajr? Did I make witr today? Did I make the zikr of coming out of the home when I was going to the masjid? Did I make the zikr of going to the masjid? When, how did I come into the masjid? What was the surah that was read by my imam in the masjid today? Who can remember the surah his imam read in Fajr today? Who remembers? Do you remember, imam? Doctor, ustaz. Doctor is professor now. But we are used to saying doctor, doctor. He is ustaz, doctor. Barakallahu fikum. You must remember in Salatul Fajr, what did my imam read today? I remember. Me, I remember. Don't say you, do you remember? I remember my own. Our Imam read Surah Al-Buruj and Surah Al-Tariq today. Am I correct? I can tell you 1 week, Fajr, I hardly forget what Imam reads in Masjid, in Salah. If I pray behind somebody, I can tell you what he read in Salah. Pay attention to it. So you make muraja of yourself. He says, Hakun ala al-akil and takuna lahu arba usa'at. It is duty bound, it is incumbent upon someone who is intelligent. Antakuna lahu arba usa'at. That he should have 4 periods, 4 times for himself. Sa'atun yuhasibu fiha nafsahu. A time that he will review his own affairs. Do we have time for that? When was the first time you checked Facebook today? How many posts have you read today? How many videos have you watched today on Facebook? How many of them were halal? Do we have time to cross-check ourselves? So the Aqil must have time to cross-check himself. Sa'atun yuhasibu fiha nafsahu. وَسَاعَةٌ يُنَاجِي فِيهَا رَبَّهُ سَاعَةٌ يُنَاجِي فِيهَا رَبَّهُ. He should have a time that he has private conversation with his Lord. My Lord, forgive me, bless me, make me your servant, love me, forgive me my sins, bless my mother, bless my father, bless my children, bless my affairs, make me a good person. Don't tell me, and all of this. Do we have time for that? That we talk to our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala privately. Shabab Salafi. Ya Allah protect all of us. Sa'atun yuhasibu fiha nafsahu. Wa sa'atun yunaji fiha rabbahu. Wa sa'atun yakhlu fiha ila ikhwanihi. الذين يخبرونه بعيوب نفسه. He should also have a time. يخلو فيها إلى إخوانه. He will sit down privately with his brothers. What will those his brothers say to him? الذين يخبرونه بعيوب نفسه. Those who are going to tell him about his own personal faults. The third time we should have. The time that your brothers, Abu Abdul Awwal, he will visit Abu Abdul Rahman, or Abu Abdul Rahman and Abu Yusuf. Tell me my faults. What do I do that is wrong? If someone does that to his brother today, he will say he hates him. Wahab ibn Munabbih is citing from the Hikmah of Ali Dawood that the third hour we should have إِسَّاعَةٌ يَخْلُو فِيهَا إِلَىٰ إِخْوَانِهِ الَّذِينَ يُخْبِرُونَهُ بِعُيُوبِ نَفْسِهِ. He will stay privately with his brothers. الَّذِينَ يُخْبِرُونَهُ بِعُيُوبِ نَفْسِهِ. Those who will tell him about the faults that he has as an individual. The fourth one is سَاعَةٌ يُخْلِي بَيْنَ نَفْسِهِ وَبَيْنَ شَهَوَاتِهَا التي لا قوام له إلا بها مما يحل ويحسن. The fourth one is ساعة يخلي بين نفسه وبين شهواتها. يخلي بين نفسه وبين شهواتها. The time that he will loosen up بين نفسه وشهواتها. Between his soul and what it desires. You relax. Your mind likes to eat plantain and egg and hot tea. Relax. Give it. You like to eat something. You like to sleep. You like to have something to do with your family. You like to not talk to anybody. I don't know whether people have that time. The time you don't want to talk to anybody. You are not sad. You are not. It's not that you just want to stay alone. This is the way someone who is sensible arranges his time. So he also has a time, يُخْلِي بَيْنَ نَفْسِهِ وَبَيْنَ شَهَوَاتِهِ. He will create the freedom, access, connection between what and what? Nafsihi wa shahawatiha. Between his mind and the things that it desires. Allati la qiwama lahu illa biha. Those things that la budda lahu minha. He must have attention to those things. He can't control himself except that he enjoys those things. Like sleep, like food, like having to do with our family. These are fundamental matters. How can someone live without these things? La qiwama lahu. He cannot control himself or hold back himself except that he does these things. And these things, mimma yahillu wa yahsunu. These things are lawful. They are also good. They are not unlawful things. They are lawful things, and they are also good things. He said, فَإِنَّ فِي هَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ, this fourth time that we have talked about, عَوْنًا لَهُ عَلَى السَّاعَاتِ الْأُخَرِ, it will help him regarding the other three times. The first time is that what? سَاعَةٌ يُحَاسِبُ فِيهَا نَفْسًا. The second one, سَاعَةٌ يُنَاجِي فِيهَا رَبَّهُ. The third one, سَاعَةٌ يَخْلُو فِيهَا إِلَى إِخْوَانِهِ الَّذِينَ يُخْبِرُونَهُ بِعُيُوبِ نَفْسِهِ. The point of reference is that طالب العلم العاقل, he must have time for محاسبة النفس. You must have time for yourself. You must have time for your Lord. You must have time to know your mistakes from the rest of your brothers. Unfortunately, people don't have time for these three things. Rather than that, they have time for the other person. They have time for others, but they don't have time for themselves. Like someone who has mosquito disturbing him in his front, and the other person has scorpion under his cloth. The one who has scorpion under the cloth, he is helping the other one to remove mosquito. How is that? He has scorpion under his babariga. The other brother only has mosquito roving around his face. He left his own scorpion under his clothes. He is removing the mosquito in the face of his brother. Is that sensible? May Allah protect us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wabki ala khati'atik." Cry over your errors. Those errors, you will know them from two angles. From that sa'atun tu hasibu fiha nafsak wa sa'atun lati takunu ma'a ikhwanika alladhina yukhbirunaka bi'uyubi nafsik. These are the two ways you will know. Taking a record of your own affairs and asking your brothers, "My brother, please tell me, what mistakes do I have?" May Allah protect all of us. So wabki ala khati'atik, these are the things that when you sit down in your house, you cry over them. You regret over those errors, the ones you discover by yourself and the ones that your brothers tell you. The ones you discover by yourself and the ones that your brothers tell you about. That hadith of Uqba ibn Amir was reported by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. It is Rawahu al-Tirmidhi. Rahimahullah. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli continues. He said, Hafizahullah, وَقَدْ عَرَفَ السَّلَفُ خُطُورَةَ اللِّسَانِ وَقَدْ عَرَفَ السَّلَفُ خُطُورَةَ اللِّسَانِ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ. The early Muslims recognized the dangers of speaking, the dangers of the tongue during the time of fitna. Salafu Salih, عَرَفُ خُطُورَةَ اللِّسَانِ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ. They know how dangerous it is to say just what you want in the times of fitna. وَلِذَا قَالَ ابْنَ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. That is why Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sahabiyyu al-Jaleel, he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, إِنَّمَا الْفِتْنَةُ بِاللِّسَانِ وَلَيْسَتْ بِالْيَدِ. Fitna is only upon the tongues and not upon the hands. And we'd explain what he sought to say by that, even though the isnad has an issue, is that fitan on the tongue is worse than fitan by the hand. If a person kills the other person during fitna, Somebody told him, somebody gave him that order, huh? Somebody said something that arose his anger that made him to kill somebody. Which one is worse? You see now? That's why in the Sharia, under Hudud, those people who play a part in the murder of an individual, they are added to the case, to murder cases. I think that's so also like that in modern days criminal law. Those who added to it, maybe they said, do it, and the person did it, they added, they will add them. They will add them to the fitna. May Allah protect us. Innam al-fitnatu bil lisan. The worst thing about al-fitna is on the tongues. Walaysat bil yad, not by the hand. The worst thing about fitna is the tongue. What people say during that time. May Allah protect us. Rawahu al-Dani. This is reported by al-Imam al-Dani in his book As-Sunan al-Waridatu fil Fitan. وقال النخعي رحمه الله الإمام إبراهيم بن يزيد النخعي رحمه الله he said يهلك الناس من خلتين people become destroyed من خلتين from two angles from two traits destroy the people خلتين can also mean فرجتين From two loopholes, people become destroyed. The first one is fudulul kalam, excess speech. When you talk, you bring people into fitna. Speech brings about fitna so much. And the second one, he said, wa fudulul mal, excess wealth, it brings people into fitna. Because when the wealth is so tremendous, he begins to think what to do with it. That's why I begin to think about musicians, this, that. May Allah protect all of us. Excess talk and excess wealth bring about fitna. The point of reference there is about what? Fudulul kalam. Excess speech. Rawahu ibn Abi Dunya. I just mentioned al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dunya. He was an Imam, rahimahullah. He has a lot of beneficial works, ibn Abi Dunya. Wa qala Maymun ibn Mihran. Al-Imam Maymun ibn Mihran, Abu Ayyub al-Jazari, rahimahullah, amongst the Tabi'un, he said, لَبِثَ شُرَيْحٌ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ شُرَيْح قَاضِي شُرَيْح He was in fitna, yani fitna ibn Zubayr. The fitna in the times of Ibn Zubayr. We explained that fitna in the last class. He was in it, tis'asini. He waited in it for 9 years. لَا يُخْبَر He would not allow anyone to bring information to him about the fitna. He will not, don't tell me, don't bring it. La yukhbaru alil fitan. Don't tell me about the fitna. Similar things have been reported by the A'imma regarding others amongst the Tabi'un. Like Al-Imam Mutarrif ibn Abdullah, al-Shaykhi. He also was in that fitna, he never said a word. And he never asked about it. How far? What is the latest? What is happening? He would not find out. And in the report of Qadi Shuraykh, la yastakhbiru, he will not also ask. He will not want you to tell him. He will not also ask you how far about the fitna. That is because they want to avoid having anything to say as far as fitna is concerned. May Allah protect all of us. Zakarah al-Zahabi al-Fisiyah, that affair from Maymun ibn Mihran regarding Qadi Shuraykh, was mentioned by Al-Imam al-Zahabi in his book, Siyaru Alam al-Nubala, Sheikh Salim, Sheikh Sulaiman, al-Ruhayli continues. He says, وَكَمْ فَرَّقَ إِطْلَاقُ اللِّسَانِ بَيْنَ أُنَاسٍ مُجْتَمِعِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ كَمْ فَرَّقَ إِطْلَاقُ اللِّسَانِ How many times has saying something without control, just making a statement without control, How many times has it divided a group of people? مُجْتَمِعِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ who before that were upon the truth. They were all together upon the truth. So someone says a thing, and then they become divided. They become enemies. How many times has that happened? How many times? You cannot count it. Some of the people, something, two brothers will be saying, and then they will blow it up. They will start talking about it. They blow it, the fitna between two people up. One of the scholars who has a compilation regarding fitna, he mentioned an author, even though he mentioned that that author occurs in Hilyatul Awliya. By who? Hilyatul Awliya. Who wrote Hilyatul Awliya? Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym. Naam? Abu Nu'aym. He wrote Hilyatul Awliya. It has a summary. What is its name? The summary of Hilyatul Awliya. What's its name? Sifatul Safwa. By who? Ibn al-Jawz. Sifatul Safwa is the summary of Hilyatul Awliya. But Hilyatul Awliya has a thing people don't note. You always see post Hilyatul Awliya. Hilyatul Awliya. I say, hey. I hope that people are careful. There are many athar and ahadith in Hilyatul Awliya that are not sahiha. There are many, many, many. So before you start saying that Umar said in Hilyatul Awliya, be sure that you are sure that it's sahih. And most of the times when people quote Hilyatul Awliya, they will not tell you it's not in sahih. You just see it, Hilyatul Awliya. Is this sahih? If you say, why are you asking that question? Because I know that many of the athar and ahadith al-marfu'a in Hilyatul Awliya are not sahiha. So if you quote something, I would like to ask you, is it sahih? So when you quote and cite something from Hilyatul Awliya, find out it's siha. Find out whether it is authentic. So before you start asking me about this asar about Khalid ibn Walid and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, that's why I'm saying it is in Hilyatul Awliya. So go back and search for the isnad. They said, Kana bayna Khalidin wa Sa'din kala. There was a disagreement between Khalid ibn al-Walid and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Fadhahaba rajulun yaqa'u fi Khalidin. One man began to accuse and make embarrassing statements regarding Khalid ibn al-Walid in the Sa'd, in front of Sa'd. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Khalid ibn al-Walid had a statement, had an issue. Someone began to say negative about Khalid in front of who? Sa'd. Radiyallahu anhumah. Faqala, bah! Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said to him, bah! Like saying what? Stop that. Innahu innama baynana lam yablugh dinana. Inna ma baynana. What is between myself and my brother, Khalid? Lam yablugh dinana. It has not affected our religion. Because what that person starts to do now is like finding faults in the deen of one of them. Say, hey, we only had a disagreement. How many of those kinds of disagreements will two people have? They love themselves, they respect themselves. They just, something just happened, and then people begin to carry it, raise it, make sure of it, change it, add to it, remove from it, and then it begins to widen the fitna between the two people. That's why Sheikh Salim al-Ruhayli, Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli said, "Wa kam farraqa itlaq al-lisan bayna unasin mujtami'ina madha ala al-haqqi." How many times has just making a statement without due control, how many times has it divided a group of people who were gathered upon the truth previously? وَكَمْ جَرَّ لِلْأُمَّةِ مِنْ بَلَائِمْ. How many times, how many of trials has itlaq al-lisan, just say what you want, how many trials has it brought to the Ummah? وَلِذَا, because of that, ينبغي للمؤمن ألا يتكلم إلا إذا علم أن كلامه حق في أصله، حق في ذاته، حق في أثره. It is ولذا, that is the reason why ينبغي للمؤمن ألا يتكلم إلا إذا علم أن كلامه حق في أصله. It is necessary that the one who believes in Allah on the day of Qiyamah, لا يتكلم, he will not make a statement, إلا إذا علم أن كلامه, until and unless he knows for certain that this statement that I'm going to make, حَقٌ فِي أَصْلِهِ, it is true in its foundations. حَقٌ فِي ذَاتِهِ, it is in itself true. And حَقٌ فِي أَثَرِهِ, the left of us, what it will leave over, its consequence will also be right. It is right in its foundations. The source from where it came is correct. The statement itself is correct. And it will not bring about anything except what is also right. The Sheikh went on to explain, Hafizahullah. He said, حَقٌ فِي أَصْلِهِ بأن تكون نية المتكلم خالصة لله سبحانه وتعالى. What does it mean when he says that that statement must be حَقٌ فِي أَصْلِهِ, it must be truth in his source, in its foundation. It must be true in its foundation means that تكون نية المتكلم, the intention of the person who made that statement must be خالصة لله, it must be sincere for the sake of Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَقٌ فِي ذَاتِهِ, and when he said that that statement must be حَقٌ in itself, in its essence, بِأَنْ يَكُونَ ثَابِتًا, that is by that, that statement must be right, it must be correct, it must be established, it must be as it is, it must be true. وَحَقٌ فِي أَثَرِهِ, and when he said it must be true in its consequence, the Sheikh says what he means by that is that بِأَلَّا يَتَرَتَّبَ عَلَيْهِ مَفْسَدَةٌ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ مَفْسَدَةِ السُّكُوتِ, there should not be a consequence أَعْظَمُ مِنْ مَفْسَدَةِ السُّكُوتِ that will be worse than the negative repercussions of keeping quiet. So two negatives. To be silent is a negative. To make that statement is a negative. The negative in making the statement must not be more than the negative of keeping quiet. Meaning that even in keeping quiet, yes, there may be negative. And this was what happens a lot about Facebook troubles. People will say, if you don't talk now, it will be as if, yes, it will be as if. That's a negative, Abi. But be sure that what you will say and how you will say it will not bring about worse things. So which one should you take? Which one should you take? The one of less negative, which is to be silent. If you weigh your statements and you see that what I will say will bring about worse repercussions, don't say it. If it will be as if I am weak, to be silent. If that's the only thing it will mean, I am weak, I can't reply. If that's the only thing it means, it is better for me to be silent and not reply than that I make a statement and then it causes more trouble. Which one is better? To be silent. Be silent. So being silent does not mean that, yes, there will be yes, there is negative, but it is lesser than the evil repercussions of talking. So be silent. Be silent. So the Sheikh says that is what I mean when I say that, when I say that that statement must be حَقٌ فِي أَثَرِهِ. When you speak, the repercussions, when you speak, the repercussions must not be more than the repercussion of being silent. I hope that is clear. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, the evidence for this, that yes, something may be bad if I keep silent, it is bad. But if I say it, worse things will happen. So I should remain with the bad. تَقْلِيلُ الشَّرْ, This is from the aspects of reducing evil. So you take the lesser evil. But most of the times, we don't weigh these things. Many of the people don't even weigh their statements. When they make the statements, it becomes a fitting. And then people begin to refute, fight, quarrel, make a trouble over themselves. Who is it who will also carry the burdens of all those trials? That person who made that first statement. May Allah protect all of us. One evidence that sometimes, even when keeping silent could be negative, talking could be worse negative, and as a result, you should keep silent, is the verse in the Quran when Allah said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَصُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَيَصُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Don't abuse the idols that they worship. Is it right for them to worship idols? No. It is not right. And it is not as if we should keep silent that idol is being worshipped. But if speaking, abusing that idol will make them abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you keep silent. It means to speak in that circumstance is worse than being silent, not abusing that idol. So if you correct them upon their shirk, it must not involve abusing their idol, so that does not lead them to abusing who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your silence regarding their idol, where this your Shango is bad, this your but Osmosogo, thank you, Bessie. Then they become annoyed. And they start saying evil about Allah subhanahu. Don't make that happen. Don't correct shirk like that. If this will happen. But if it will not happen, you can do that. You see now. So you have to weigh your statements before you make them. Sometimes keeping silent may be negative. And speaking may be a worse negative. So that you keep silent is better for you than to make a speech. That verse of the Quran is the evidence for that. The Sheikh went on to say, وَقَدْ إِسْتَعْمَلَ السَّلَفُ هَذَا الْأَصْلَ الْعَظِيمِ. The Salafu Salih, they have worked upon this great foundation of Islam, fi waqtil fitan, during the times of fitna. What is that foundation? What is that foundation? حِفْظُ lisan. Being careful about what you say. The Salaf had worked on it, especially in fitna. When they think that, yes, if I don't say something, there's a negative. But if I say, there will be worse troubles. Let us hear the two hadiths. Fortunately, the two of them are in Sahih al-Bukhari. One of them is regarding Abdullah ibn Umar and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. The second one is regarding Abdullah ibn Abbas, Umar radiallahu anhu, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. Let us quickly read through the first one. When the Salafus Salih, they avoided to talk, not because they don't know what to say, but because talking will bring about more fitnah. I hope that our young brothers take note. It is not every time that talking will bring benefits. Sometimes it is keeping quiet. Sometimes it is keeping quiet. And sometimes it is talking. Each time your brother makes a post, you want to do a correction, you may not need to correct him sometimes. He may remain silent. Because if you want to correct him at that time, and in that manner, you cause more problems. Sometimes your correction does not need to be public. It may just be private between yourself and him. How is that? If it is correction that you desire. Because some people will say, I want to correct him. Allah alone knows his intention. Allah alone knows his intention. Yoruba say, Yoruba do bale. Inu enaru. Ido bale lari. Inu enko. Ori inaru loa. So it is, I want to correct him that we have heard. Allah alone knows your intention. But we leave you and Allah regarding that one. But the job really, tubula sarai. All those intentions, I'm sincere, you are saying, Allah will bring it out to be exposed. May Allah protect all of us. And make us people who carry out our deeds, our speech, and our actions out of sincerity for Him. It is easy to talk about sincerity, but it is not easy to establish sincerity. Anybody who says that it is easy for him to be sincere is a liar. If someone says, me, I'm ever sincere, it's a liar. Sincerity is something you'll be guiding every moment. Because there is no time that it cannot become insincere. The sincerity can become insincere anytime. So if you find yourself say, our sincere every time. There's nothing that I say that I'm ironic. The liar. Sincerity is not like that. Sincerity is something that you will hold it on your hand, but you think that it has fallen away. You know that mindset. You are holding something, but you are now thinking that Chekoti, Bobai, is it not already off me? When it is like that, that is when it is still sincere. But when you can say, we, if you are looking for sincerity, see us here. Glory on you. May Allah protect us all. It's upon a lie. Go and read what the early Muslims said about managing their ikhlas. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili said, Hafizahullah, وقد استعمل السلف هذا الأصل العظيم في وقت الفتن. The early Muslims have preserved and acted upon this major foundation of Islam during the times of fitan. Says فعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما said خطب معاوية قال معاوية ابن أبي سفيان was the Amir. After who? After حسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب. حسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب handed over to معاوية ابن أبي سفيان. طيب. So معاوية ابن أبي سفيان became the Amir of the Muslims. So خطب معاوية رضي الله عنه. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan gave a khutbah, he gave a sermon, and he said in it, "Man kana yuridu an yatakallama fi hadha al-amr, falyutli' lana qarnahu, fala nahnu ahakku bihi minhu wa min abawayhi min abihi." Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan said, "Man kana yuridu an yatakallama fi hadha al-amr." Whoever wants to say anything about being an Amir, whoever wants to lay claim and say he has a say about this affair of Imara, فَلْيُطْلِعْ لَنَا قَرْنَهُ Let him show us his what? Qarn. His horns. Show us your horn. That is, raise your head, let's see. Do you think you have a greater right to this position? Stand up and let's see. Why was Muawiyah saying like this, speaking like this? Because he has come from a family that is known for thaqafa, bajuma, wal ma'rifa, knowing things. We have thaqafa. They are civilized people in their family. You don't know who his father was, Abu Sufyan? He was very rich. Yes, Abu Sufyan was rich. He was amongst the richest and amongst Quraysh. He was civilized. That was why Muawiyah was someone who knew how to write and read. He taught his children reading and writing. He was a huge businessman, Abu Sufyan. His caravan was bringing loads from Sham. It led to the Battle of Badr. He was the one who led the Mushrikun during the Battle of Khandaq. So he was not, he was Gajuma, he was a civilized person amongst them. So how will his children be? So he's saying that we, our Gajuma, we are civilized people. If you think you should be the ruler, we should come and let's see. We are civilized people from where we have come from. When he said that, Qala Habibu ibn Maslama, Habibu ibn Maslama, the companion, he used to be called Habibu Rum. He was a young companion of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, Habib ibn Maslama. Habibu ibn Maslama said, Fahalla ajabtahu. He was saying to Abdullah ibn Umar, should you not have replied Muawiyah? Because he would make that statement in the presence of Ibn Umar. And Ibn Umar and his father were knowledgeable people. We know them. They were righteous people. They were knowledgeable people. So what was the consideration of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan? The consideration of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was that the leadership should be for those who are more civilized. But the consideration of Abdullah ibn Umar is that the people with greater knowledge and piety should have the leadership. So you see, he had his difference among them in the circumstance. Radiallahu anhu. So when Habib ibn Maslama asked Ibn Umar, why did you not reply him? Let us hear what Ibn Umar said, if it were we. He says, then you keep quiet. You did not explain the truth. You did not hear Ibn Umar. Here Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, فَحَلَلْتُ حُبْوَتِي. You know حُبْوَة. When a person sits and he folds his knees to his stomach. I've not seen anybody sitting ihtiba like that. He folds his knees to his stomach and wraps the knees with his two palms. They refer to that way of sitting as ihtiba. He says, فَحَلَّلْتُ حَبْوَاتِ. You release your two legs and you sit down, mutarabbi'an, like that. Ibn Umar said, when Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan made that statement, حَلَّلْتُ حَبْوَاتِ, I released my feet. I now sat down well. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to make a statement. He wanted to say something. Radiyallahu anhuma. Wa hamamtu an akul. And I desired, I wanted, I determined that I would say something. What was it? He wanted to tell Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, ahakku bi hadha al-amri minka man qatalaka wa abaka ala al-islam. Ahakku min hadha al-amri minka man qatalaka wa abaka ala al-islam. There are those who have greater rights to authority than you. Those who fought you and your father regarding Islam. They fought you when you were a non-Muslim. They fought your father. Your father was a non-Muslim. You know, he said, if you are more civilized than me, come up. If you are more civilized than us, anyone who thinks that he has or himself and his father have greater rights to come. He gave him, he wanted to say that. Ibn Umar wanted to say that we became Muslims at the time that you and your father were what? Amongst Mushrikun. We fought you before you became Muslims. You know, Abu Sufyan accepted Islam on the Umul Fatihiko. When did Ibn Umar wanted to go for Uhud, he was turned back. They accepted Islam. They are from Muhajirun. From the best amongst the companions, Muhajirun. Radiallahu anhu. Ibn Umar said, I wanted to say that to Muawiyah. That those who have greater rights over it, they are those who were fighting you and your father. And don't forget, on the day of Khandaq, Ghazwatul Ahzab, Abu Sufyan was the leader of Mushrikun. So Ibn Umar could say, you and your father, Ajol Jainlogun Keto di Muslimin, we have greater rights. Because they are from As-Sabiquna Al-Awwalun Min Al-Muhajirin. Ibn Umar wanted to say that. Radiallahu anhu. He said, فَخَشِيْتُ أَنْ أَقُولَ كَلِمَتَهُ. But I was afraid to have made a statement to فَرِّكُ بَيْنَ الْجَمْعِ وَتَسْفِكُ الْجَمْعِ. That statement would have divided the community. It would have led to bloodshed. So I kept quiet. Keeping quiet is negative. Speaking is also negative. Because some of the people may not know the answer to what Muawiyah said, radiallahu anhu, and it has an answer. That is the only negative that is there. And that will only be restricted to those in the city. The rest of the Ummah knew after the two of them, at a time that it was not going to become a means of a fitna. But when he said, if Ibn Umar said this on that day, how many people will stand up behind Ibn Umar? Have you forgotten that when you are mushrik, we were Muslims fighting you and your father? Some people say, ah, not true. They will go in the path of Ibn Umar. And some people will remain in the path of Muawiyah. Does that mean that you are more civilized than Muawiyah and Abu Sufyan and his family? You see, two camps would emerge. So Ibn Umar said, فَخَشِيْتُ أَنْ أَقُولَ كَلِمَةً تُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْجَمْعِ وَتَسْفِكُ الدَّمَاءِ. I feared that I would say a statement, تُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْجَمْعِ, that will cause a break in the community. وَتَسْفِكُ الدَّمَاءِ. That statement, he ascribed the statement to the statement that will cause the blood itself, the bloodshed itself. You, Salafi, see your Salafu. When you make your own statements, are you thinking that it can cause more fitna and avoiding it? Salafi. Especially young boys, young brothers, are you thinking that this my statement will cause trouble? Let me not make it. Are you thinking like your Salaf are thinking? May Allah protect all of us. Don't make a statement that will tear apart the community. Ibn Umar said, فَشِيْتُ أَنْ أَقُولَ كَلِمَةً تُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْجَمْعِ وَتَسْفِكُ الدَّمَى وَيُحْمَلُ عَنِّي غَيْرُ ذَلِكِ. That statement will cause bloodshed. وَيُحْمَلُ عَنِّي. Things will be reported regarding me. Things will be carried about regarding me. غَيْرُ ذَلِكِ. Regarding the actual things that I said. When people stand up there, what will they say to Muawiyah regarding Ibn Umar's statement? You'll be saying things that may not be exactly as Ibn Umar said it. How many times has that happened? One sheikh will say something. He just made a clear-cut statement. People will start helping him to make the sharhu. And it is the sharhu that they will make to become the matni. They will turn the sharhu to matni. If you want to turn sharhu to matn, it means that Sahih al-Bukhari will be in 18 volumes. Because the sharh of al-Hafiz ibn Hajar occurs in 18 volumes. If you turn sharhu to matn, you will cause trouble. But people do that in our own times. Sometimes people will ask you, someone asked me yesterday in a public gathering, we were in a marriage, big marriage. He came to sit near me. He said, Abu Nasir, I say now. He said, they say that there is no scholar you don't abuse. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. Yesterday. He said, they said that there is no scholar you don't abuse. I smiled. If I tell you something why I smiled, you'll be surprised. And Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, that is one of the levels of knowledge and sunnah. The times when they will be saying what you didn't say. Al-Bukhari said so. Where it is, Masodi got me then. So I asked him, did they tell you one scholar that I have abused? One scholar that I have abused. One. Dead or alive. One scholar. One. I say, you, do you know one? Say, I don't know. You want me to be defending what you don't know. So what will I defend? It's like somebody telling me that I carried Mount Uhud on my head. What will I ask? Did you see Mount Uhud on my head? So I said, do you know one, just one learned person that you heard? Even amongst the people in our times, if I don't accept the view of a person, I will not mention his name before I refute the view. Me, I don't refute people, I refute views. If a person now has a deviation that requires that, like that man in Agege, people like that must be mentioned and known to the people. If there are people that they don't need to be mentioned, you don't need, especially people who have asun upon sunnah. This asun is sunnah. It is asun is sunnah. You preserve him. You correct his errors. Especially if it is a widespread error. But to say abuse one learned person, anybody who has heard me abusing one learned person should say it. So what I'm saying is that, like Ibn Umar says, radiallahu anhu, people will say what I have not said. So if Ibn Umar is afraid of that, everybody should be afraid of that. Don't ascribe to me what I have not said. So it means easily people ascribe to people what they have not said. Ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhu, he said, فَذَكَرْتُ مَا أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ فِي الْجِنَانِ. By way of cooling down himself, radiallahu anhu, he said, ذَكَرْتُ مَا أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ فِي الْجِنَانِ. I remembered what Allah has prepared for me in Al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhu, قَالَ حَبِيبُ الرُّومِ, Habib ibn Maslama, who was telling, why did you not reply? He then said to Ibn Umar, حُفِزْتَ وَعُسِّمْتَ. حُفِزْتَ, you have been protected, you have been preserved. وَعُسِّمْتَ, Allah has protected you. Because if you had made that statement, that place would have gone on fire. You Salafi, when you make your own statement, say wa'u'a'u, your atmosphere soy, say you dawala lenni, I mean. You weigh your own statements. May Allah protect all of us. The Sheikh says, Rawahu al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this asar. The second asar, the point of reference in this asar is what? What is the point of reference in this asar? Being careful about what you say during fitna. And that when you weigh what you need to say, sometimes you need to say something. But if you see that saying it will bring more evil than keeping quiet, then be quiet. This is manhaj salaf fil kalami fil fitan. It's manhaj of the salaf now regarding how they speak in the times of fitna. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. In the second report from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who said, كنت أقرئ رجالا من المهاجرين. I used to teach some men amongst muhajirun Quran. Ibn Abbas, when he died, رضي الله عنهما, the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام died, and Ibn Abbas was 30 years old. Ibn Abbas was 30 years old. Ibrahim, how old are you? He was older than you. Powers. He didn't get the question. Leave them. Ibn Abbas was 13 years old when the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after the Prophet, during the time of Umar, يُكْرِئُ بَعْضَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الْقُرْآنِ. He was teaching some muhajirun Quran, 13-year-old boy. He was teaching people elders Quran. One of those he taught, he mentioned, was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Ibn Abbas in Qa Abdurrahman ibn Auf ni Qurani. Ibn Abbas, this one is old papa. I'm looking for a boy of 13. Ibn Auf was older than I am now. At that time. And yet, he will sit in front of Ibn Abbas. He will be learning Quran. Yukri'uhum. Ma'an al-Iqra. Read after me. Yulakinuhu al-Quran. Wasafati safa. Ibn Abbas will say so. For example. And Ibn Auf will follow. Wasafati safa. Wallahi. The main lesson here from this statement is that don't be too shy when you become old to learn Quran. Even if it be from a 10-year-old boy, don't be shy. Learn knowledge from anybody. Take it. In fact, it's one way so your child will even learn the Quran faster. He goes to the kutab. He takes a page per day. Go. When he returns, let him give you the talking of that page. You too memorize that page. The son memorized one page. When he comes, he will teach his father that page. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, was teaching Abdurrahman ibn Auf Quran. This thing, he has some issues around it too. When Abu Salama, the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was very learned. He was from amongst the closest students of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, Abu Salama. He is near the age of Ibn Abbas. He used to feel somehow to sit in front of Ibn Abbas. So the scholars will say, Baba Regoma Kiwe. Abu Salama, the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, his age is near the age of Ibn Abbas. So he used to, and he was very learned too. He took his ahadith from Abu Huraira. So when he sees Ibn Abbas, you know how he'll be feeling. But the scholars will say, he's the teacher of your father. And Ibn Abbas did that too. If he was in a gathering teaching knowledge, if Abu Salama comes, he'll keep quiet. Why does he keep quiet? Ebe mi lojo gesi. Emi no ni ko. In the past, the teachers used to choose those who take their knowledge. Today we beg people come. In the past, because they don't want everybody to be ascribing themselves to them. No, everybody say I'm the student of Fadila Tushek. No. So they will be selecting their students. You, this one. But today it is Fadila Tushek that is looking for the whole country to be his students. That is not Manhaj Salafu. May Allah protect all of us. Ibn Abbas said, "Kuntu ukri'u rijalan min al-muhajirin." I used to teach some amongst the Muhajirun, I used to teach them Quran. Minhum Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Amongst them was Sahih Bukhari. Amongst them was who? Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And you know who Abdurrahman ibn Auf is, ko? Bukhari. Despite the fact that he had been assured of Al Jannah, he was still learning Quran from Ibn Abbas. Can you come down to learn Quran from someone who is younger than you? Or anything you don't know? May Allah protect us. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhum. فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا فِي مَنْزِلِهِ بِمِنَى. This thing happened at Mina during Hajj. When I was in his tent at Mina, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ عُمَرَ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf was with Umar ibn al-Khattab fi akhiri hajjatin hajjaha, in the last hajj that Umar radiallahu anhu performed. إلي عبد الرحمن فقال. عبد الرحمن ابن عوف turned to me. He came to me and said, لو رأيت رجلا أتى أمير المؤمنين اليوم. I wish that you saw a man who came to meet Umar today. فقال يا أمير المؤمنين. That person said to Umar رضي الله عنه, يا أمير المؤمنين, O leader of the Muslims, هل لك من فلان يقول, what would you say, or have you heard so and so saying that لو قد مات عمر لقد بايعت فلان, لو قد مات عمر, if Umar passes away now, I would certainly give bay'ah to so and so. Someone came to Umar and said, if you die now, quickly, I will give bay'ah to so and so. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَتْ بَيْعَةُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِلَّا فَلْتَةً فَتَمَّتْ. Because the bay'ah that was given to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was فَلْتَةً, it happened very fast and quickly. It happened so fast, quickly. They assembled, they started speaking. And then Umar pushed forward Abu Bakr Siddiq, and then he was given the bay'ah. Many of the people were not there. So they wished that they were in the presence of the rest of the people when they gave oath of allegiance to Abu Bakr Siddiq, like saying, I missed that event. The event completed before we came. For God, Umar. Because he employed an expression to say that the thing just happened fast. Umar wanted to say, what do you mean by fast? And that if Umar passes away, quickly we'll go and give bay'ah to another person. They mentioned the person. The ulama say it was Talha ibn Ubaidillah that was mentioned to Umar. So Umar said, what about this again? Now. But they were saying that because they missed the circumstance of the bay'ah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. For God, even Umar became annoyed. ثم قال, he then said, إني إن شاء الله لقائم العشية في الناس. إني إن شاء الله لقائم العشية في الناس. By the evening, inshallah, I am going to stand in front of the people. What will I do? فَمُحَذِّرُهُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَنْصِبُوهُمْ أُمُورَهُمْ. I am going to warn the people. I am going to warn the generality of the people. Regarding who? هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَنْصِبُوهُمْ أُمُورَهُمْ. I am going to warn them regarding those people who want to take undue advantage. They want to just chance upon the affairs. They want to control the affairs just like that. Otherwise, how would you say when Umar passes away, you will give bay'ah to Talha? You can say that. The community of the Muslims will come back together to determine who becomes the leader. It is not something just anybody says. The reason why they are thinking that, quickly we give bay'ah to Talha when you die, is because they were not there, so they don't want to take a chance. As if to say, quickly we will do it. Say, no. So he wanted to warn the people. Don't allow people to take this matter in a haste. Don't allow the people to determine their leader in a haste. That was what Umar radiallahu anhu was going to say. Qala Abdurrahman. When Umar said that, Abdurrahman ibn Auf cautioned him and said, يا أمير المؤمنين, O leader of the believers, لا تفعل, don't come and say that to people. فإن الموسم يجمع رعاء الناس وغوغاءهم. فإن الموسم يجمع من ru'a'an nas wa gawra'ahum. Because the time of Hajj, yajma'u ru'a'an nas, people who are lowly, wa gawra'ahum, people who easily, quickly take decisions, gawra. One of the scholars said it's referring to Shabab. Because it is the Shabab that once they hear something, they want to take this. And then people whose intellect are not high. Everybody come there during the time of Hajj. So if you, Umar, stand up to make this statement, Abdurrahman ibn Awf said, Radiallahu anhu, فَإِنَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَغْلِبُونَ عَلَىٰ هُرْبِكَ. They will be the ones who will be closer to you. They will take upon the chance of being closer to you when you want to speak. The people who will be nearest to you will be those Ghawga and Ru'a and Nas, the lowly amongst the people. They are not so intelligent. And those ones who are not also so intelligent, but they want to quickly take action, they will be the large majority of those who will be with you when you speak. Hina taqum fi nas, when you stand up to deliver that address amongst the people. Wa ana akhsha an taquma, I fear that you stand up. Fataqulu maqalatan yutahhiruha anka kullu mutayyirin. Yutayyiruha anka kullu mutayyirin. Wa ana akhsha, I fear, O Umar, antakuma, that you stand up and speak amongst the people. Fatakula maqalatan, and then you give a statement, you give a speech. Yutayyiruha anka kullu mutayyirin. Those who make tatyiru kalimat, those who fly about with statements. Yutayyiruha kullu mutayyirin. Awatoman boro, kao baman boro eka. People who fly around with information begin to fly the statement around. And most of them will be what? Ru'a and Nas. And who? Ghawga. May Allah protect all of us. You see the fiqh of Umar. You see the fiqh of Ibn Auf. You see the fiqh of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Let's not say something that some people will start. They will carry it about. Wa Allah ya'uha. They will not understand it. وَأَلَّا يَضَعُوهَا عَلَىٰ مَوَضِعِهَا. They will not place those statements in their rightful places. This is one of the fitna today. Everybody is quoting Athar. He is not able to understand it. Not to say that put that Athar in its right place. Athar ni lo to sumaso yiyo. Tuba yiyo. Shia yire niye. Most young people will not know this, because you know this when you spend time upon knowledge. The time you know where to place what does what mean. Wallahi, when you stay long upon knowledge, you will know. But if you have not stayed long upon knowledge, you will think that every statement refers to everything. May Allah protect us. He says, وَأَلَّا يَعُوهَا. They will not understand what you say, O Umar. وَأَلَّا يَضَعُوهَا عَلَىٰ مَوَضِعِهَا. Perhaps they will not be able to place that statement in the rightful places. فَأَمْهِلْ حَتَّى تَقْدَمَ الْمَدِينَةِ. أَمْهِلْ, hold back. Keep that speech. Keep that statement until you return to Medina. فَإِنَّهَا دَارُ الْهِجْرَةِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. Because Medina is Darul Hijra was Sunnah. Pick it. Medina is what? Darul Hijra was Sunnah. Because Medina is Darul Hijra. The home to which the people migrated from Makkah was Sunnah. That was where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam established the deen. Darul Hijrati was Sunnah. That is Medina. فَإِنَّهَا Darul Hijrati was Sunnah. Utubiloka ibn Auf. Medina is big in the mind of Ibn Auf. So from the way of the Salafi is that Medina must be big in your mind. Medina must be big in our minds. Why? لأنها دار الهجرة والسنة. Because that is the home of Hijra and Sunnah. That is the home of the Sunnah. So we like Medina. We like Medina. Some people like US and UK. We like Medina. They go and spend all the day in US and UK. We will go to Medina. فَإِنَّهَا دَارُ الْهِجْرَةِ وَالسُنَّةِ No apologies, please. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Medina do go. Wallahi, Medina is sweet. If you leave Medina now, you will like to go back to Medina again. Unless you don't come out of Medina. Once you come out, you want to come enter again. Unless you have nifaq inside your heart. It's from the signs of nifaq. You don't know it? From the symbols of munafiqun, they hate Medina. We like Medina. Wallahi, we like Medina. فإنها دار الهجرة والسنة. So Ibn Auf said, رضي الله عنه, فتخلص بأهل الفقه وأشرف الناس. When you get to Medina, تخلص بأهل أو تخلص الجواب تخلص بأهل الفقه وماذا وأشرف الناس. You're going to be alone with who? أهل الفقه. The people who will understand that statement are people of what? Understanding. Wa ashrafin nas atawiya pataki pataki. Eminent, noble, intelligent people are those who will listen to you, not gaugau. When you write your own post as you like on Facebook, who are reading it? Majority of the people are gaugau. So be careful. They have their own addresses too. They have the way you talk to them. Don't talk to them things that their mind are too small to carry. Otherwise, you will put them into fitna. Shaba, Chesuru, take it easy. Take it easy. This is Manhaj Salaf now fil fitan. May Allah protect all of us. So Ibn Auf said, رضي الله عنه, فتخلص بأهل الفقه وأشراف الناس. فَتَقُولَ مَا قُلْتَ مُتَمَكِّنًا. You are going to give that address, mutamakkin, when you are calm. It is different from, you heard a statement, now you want to give the address immediately. You would have been calm. You would have been organized. And the people who will be with you, listening to you, they will be what? Ahlul fiqhi wa ashrafin nas. Be calm, Umar. Ibn Auf was advising him regarding that. رضي الله عنهم فتقول ما قلت متمكنا. So you will give that speech you want to give when you are calm. فيعي أهل العلم مقالتك. So the people of knowledge will understand what you say. ويضعونها على مواضعها. And they will place every statement where? In its right places. Why? Because they are from Ahlul Fiqh. والشرف. Because they are from the people of understanding and honor. They are honorable people. That's why Gauga will be saying, President, address us, Gauga. La yafhamu kalam al-ra'is. And that's why when he makes a statement, they still don't understand. La yafqahuna hadith. President, will you not address us? President must talk to us. Gauga! When the president talks, will he keep quiet? He will still talk again. Why did you not talk about so-so-so? What is so koyoni? When the president spoke on Arise TV, after that time till today, the information we have is that there are some relative peace in the troubled areas. And he continued to repeat that government cannot be saying everything that it wants to do. Where will he be saying what they want to do? They are going to fight a battle. You want him to be saying to you on national TV how they are going to fight that battle? Is that how it is done? Huh? He will not say it. So you remember, he did not speak about so. He is president. He knows what to say. He knows when to say. He knows where not to say. But Gauga will say, oh, what is or not? He has not said anything. What did he say now? Rubbish statement. Gauga, la akla lahu. He does not equal boy konye. Because what the president will say will be highly coded. I tell you, only people with deep understanding will understand what he says. Deep understanding. And whose mind is free of rancor against the people. Because rancor blinds. Rancor, it does what? It blinds. It does not make the victim see good in anything the enemy says. So if you're already taking Buhari as your enemy, what will he say that he will say well? He will not say it well. Konima Sonani. So, but when we come back to Medina, Takulu ma kulta mutamakina, you will say what you will say calmly. Fayai ahlul ilmi makalatak, the people of knowledge will understand your statement. Wayadarunaha ala mawadiha, they will place those statements, everyone in the place where it is supposed to be. Fakala Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar then said, radiallahu anhu, wallahi, إن شاء الله لا أقومن بذلك أول مقام أقومه بالمدينة بإذن الله. When we come back to Medina, I am going to make that my first speech that I will deliver in Medina. He took the advice of who? Abdurrahman ibn Auf. What was the point of reference in this? Be careful what you say, so that you don't make a statement. فَيُطَيِّرُ بِهَا كُلُّ مُطَيِّرٍ, so that Umar does not make a statement and then people begin to carry it to mean what Umar has not meant. The same thing with Ibn Umar, his son. He avoided to give a reply to who? Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Why? So that people do not say what I have not said, and then so that there will not be fitna upon the lands. Salafi, this is manhaj salafi fil fitan. This is the manhaj of our early Muslims regarding speech in the times of fitna. But salafi today, he is the one who wants to say everything. He's asking for information, looking for this, going to this. Some people will go and attend some doctor's halqa. Dr. Kenini, they said something about Dr. So today. I will go to halqa, his halqa today. Maybe he will reply. So you travel from Oshogbo to wherever. You'll be traveling about. Asai fil fitnati. That is the name, that is his name. Yes, ah, fil fitna. So that he will come and upload on fit on Facebook. May Allah protect you if you are like this. May Allah make you to change. So this is asai fil fitna, and it is not right. لأن الفتنة تجتنب ولا تجتلب. Fitna is avoided. It is not craved. It is, you don't seek fitna. You avoid fitna. I think that this is a good place for us to stop today. Bi-ithnillah, the next point will be about how do you handle what you believe and what you should say. Very important. The Sheikh says, من فقه الفتن أن الاعتقاد مبني على العلم. From the things we must understand about fitan is that الاعتقاد, what you believe inside your mind, مبني على العلم, it is upon what you know in the Quran and the Sunnah. والقول والبيان مبني على المصلحة. But what you will say, what you will explain is based on benefits. What you will believe is based on clear-cut knowledge. But what you will say, what you need, what is it that will determine it? Maslah. That's why they say, Laysa kullu ma yu'lamu yuqal. It is not everything you know you will say. So in fitna, you'll be saying, if I say this now, what will happen? If I say this now, what will happen? If I don't say now, what will happen? You'll be thinking about this always. So you may say something in Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Did he not say that if I say everything that I know about the fitna, you will kill my, you will cut my neck? That means he is weighing the consequence of what he will say, so that something does not happen that is worse than the fitna of keeping quiet. So he chose to keep quiet. Radiallahu anhu. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. If we have one or two questions, inshallah, we can address them. But I'd like brothers to buy this book, Ar-Risalatul Mubniyatu Fi Sukuti Wa Luzum Al-Buyut. Very good book. It's just 10 pages. Just 10 pages. If you pay attention, if you read it well, within 1 hour, you finish the book. You gain a lot. It has a lot of asar about keeping quiet and staying inside your house during the times of fitan. May Allah protect us from fitan. Ma zahara minha wa ma batan. I think we can take one or two questions before we leave for today, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Regarding what? Oh. Now, some people say it's a dog. Now, that is because the dog just barks. It lacks control. So it's like ascribing the attitude of that dog to that person. He's just talking, prom, 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 no control. May Allah protect us. Maftun. Zindiq. Hey, Zindiq. Wallahi, Zindiq. Zindiq. May Allah protect us. Zindiq. Zindiq. You, what do you think? Is he creating fitna amongst Muslims or not? Okay, that's your answer. Has anybody kept quiet regarding him? Tell me who kept quiet regarding him. Do you know anybody who kept quiet? When we talk about keeping quiet on Facebook quarrels, we are talking about amongst the people of Sunnah. We have repeated this in many of our sittings here. But when brothers, one doctor, and that's why we are always saying one doctor, one sheikh, because this is what is common amongst Bismillah, the people of Sunnah on the Facebook or any other place on the social media, amongst we ourselves. But those people, it is obligatory to speak against him. To be silent is not accepted. Everybody must say something regarding him. Everybody must give him an appellation amongst the people whose words will be carried. So if your words will be conveyed, you must give him something. The word of Funinka. When I first heard about his case, the first thing that came to my mind is Zandako. Say, this man is Zindiq. I didn't know who called him Zindiq before me. Anybody called him Zindiq before me? Now? I don't know. What came to my mind, this is Zindiq. Anybody who abuses the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhu, is Zindiq. Imam Abu Zurat al-Razi said that, cool. Anybody who speaks evil of the companions, Zindiq. Especially in the level that he has done. Zandaka. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect all of us. Now. That brother who asked two questions, you answered one by yourself. Have you taken your second answer? You're okay. You, what did you say about him? did you say something about him? What does Kala say? Jazakallah. Barakallah. Now. رضي الله عنه. There is no disharmony, talk less of looking for harmony. The companions had one thing with them. رضي الله عنه. When you come to knowledge, you will hardly find one of them saying, I know I'm past. They will prefer to ascribe it to their brother. I think Ibn As wrote more than me. But Ibn As himself, Abdullah, will feel that Abu Huraira wrote more than him. Do you understand? Abu Huraira wrote more than Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He has what Ibn al-Has does not have. On more than one occasion, the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he prayed Allah for Abu Huraira, that from now onwards, whatever your ear hears, you will not forget. What Abu Huraira, what you hear, you will not forget. More than once. There is the author of Zayd ibn Thabit in the masjid with Abu Huraira. On the day of Juma between Asr and Maghrib, they were begging Allah making dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said to have come into the masjid, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he asked the first person, "What are you asking Allah for?" That one said, "Everything he was asking." He said, "May Allah grant you." "You, what are you asking Allah for?" "Say, I'm asking Allah for so and so and so." He said, "May Allah grant it." He asked Abu Huraira, Hafizul Ummah. Radiallahu anhu, what are you asking Allah for? He said, I ask for what my first two companions have asked for. And I ask for knowledge that I will never forget anything. Say, may Allah grant it to you. If you gather the kisses of Abu Huraira, the narrations regarding Abu Huraira, and not forgetting what he memorizes in his mind, you will have not more than 5 or 6. If you search well, you can get up to 10. There is a report, one of our teachers said, and since then, more than 15 years, I have been searching for that report regarding Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. Maybe if I mention it now, somebody will know where it is. I have not come across it. But one of our teachers has mentioned it. On that day too, we didn't ask him, where did he sit? We are usually shy to ask sometimes. He said, once Abu Huraira told the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, I want more memory. And the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, told him, open your mouth. He opened it and he spat into his mouth. Did you hear what I said? Said, open your mouth. He opened his mouth. The Messenger spat into his mouth. You will not forget after today. So there are a lot of things about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Do you understand? That's regarding memorizing ahadith. So, but from the way of the early Muslims is that apart from memorization, kanu yuqayyidu, yudawwinu, they used to write down hadith. They write down. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had more ahadith in his mind than what he wrote down. Radiallahu, the ones he had in his mind were more than the ones he wrote down. So, and the ones he wrote down, he gave them to Wahab ibn Munabbi. He handed them over to him. He was a student. These were the ahadith I wrote from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He gave it to Wahab ibn Munabbi. But as for al-mufadala, who has it more between Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, it's a simple thing. Proof has shown that Abu Huraira has more reports than Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Even though Ibn al-As had accepted Islam long before Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu accepted Islam 3 years before the Prophet died. Alayhi salatu wasalam. 3 years. He accepted Islam and he came from Yemen. You know he is a Dawsi. He's from Yemen, from his tribe is Banu Ad-Dawsi. So he came from Yemen with his mother, with his slave. At the time his mother was a non-Muslim. When they almost got into Medina, the slave ran away. So it remained himself and his mother. So the two of them came into Medina. They did not have a place to stay. Abu Huraira was staying in the masjid. Have you heard Ahlu Sifa? And Imam Suyuti has a compilation of their names. Al-Sifa is the heights, like that area in the masjid. You see that area as it is? Take it that there is a little height there where people can keep something. That is the meaning of what Al-Sifa. They call them Ahlu Sifa because their baggages and luggages were kept there in the Prophet's masjid. Alayhi salatu wasalam. One of them was who? Abu Huraira. He had no place to stay at that time. Radiallahu anhu. But what he did was that he gave himself to the Prophet Muhammad. My job is that I am going to be writing down and memorizing everything the Prophet says. I will not go anywhere. So he was not going to the market. He was not going to look for money. He was not going to farm. He was not going to anything. You know what that means? Sometimes he will go hungry without food. Radiallahu anhu. That is why upon the path of knowledge, like some of the Salaf say, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ لَا يُجَدُ بِرَوْحَةِ الْجَسَدِ. This knowledge cannot be acquired and attained. بِمَذَا بِرَوْحَةِ الْجَسَدِ. You are inside AC. They are giving you chicken in the morning, chicken in the afternoon, chicken in the night. You are enjoying. You are sleeping on top of a water bed. Wallah, you will think that you are memorizing anything. You don't know anything. Knowledge is not acquired upon raw hatul jasa. You don't make the body become too comforting. So Abu Huraira will hear the Prophet's statement, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, he knows ahadith more than us. We go to the market, he's not going anywhere. So when we are in the market, he's memorizing and writing. And Imam ibn Sa'd in his book, At-Tabaqat, he reports, bi isnadin Hassan, and Ummu Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya, the daughter of Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi'i, she mentioned that report in her book, Nasihati Linnisa. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu told our mother, he gave a narration. Radiallahu anhu. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, Abu Huraira, where did you hear that? He said, Mama, when I heard it, you were busy inside the room painting your face. When I heard that statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are putting, you are making kwalia. Mama, look at the naji on chomagana. Kima kina kwalia. You know kwalia ko? A woman putting eyeliner. You were busy with that when I was learning this from the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. She kept quiet. Because they know Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. If I tell you something now, you'll be surprised. But don't be surprised. This brother looks like the description of Abu Huraira. This brother. Every time I see him, this brother. He is thick boned, his face is white, he's tall, huge, muscular. Radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira. He lost most of that when he was trying to learn from the Prophet because of a lot of hunger. So the Prophet loved him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will come and look at him, say, Abu Huraira. Ah, you love knowledge like this. He will be the one asking questions. He will ask the prophet, how is this one? How is that one? How is it? And he is also asking from the companions, because he has something ulama refer to as marasilus sahaba, narrations that he will narrate. He came in Medina, 7th year after Hijrah, remaining 3 years. So when he's narrating that during Isra and Miraj, so something happened, where did he hear it? So he will go to the elders amongst the companions, and he'll be asking them too, what happened in Hunayn? What happened here? What happened? He's asking. So he'll be narrating it to us. That kind of a hadith is called what? Mursal Sahabi. A report that a Sahaba reports from another Sahaba without mentioning the name of that Sahaba. Abdullah, the bulk of the reports of Abdullah ibn Abbas are from this category. One of the scholars said that the ahadith that Ibn Abbas himself heard and reported from the Prophet directly, they are not up to 50. Ibn Abbas, Jullu ma yarwihi anil Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min marasil al-Sahaba. Ibn Abbas. And he was far younger. How about Abu Huraira? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum, Abu Huraira had a lot of marasil al-Sahaba. Because somebody can say, you said that you accepted Islam 7th year. Yes. So why was he telling us about Isra Miraj that happened in the 7th year before Hijrah? 3 years before Hijrah. 7 years after the Messenger's Hijrah. 10 years after the Messenger. He spent 30 years in Makkah. 3 years before Hijrah, there was Isra Miraj. 3 years before Hijrah. 3 years before Hijrah, Isra Miraj. So are you saying that Abu Huraira reported is his house Marasil Sahaba? But when the man is ignorant, he will say, how can Abu Huraira be reporting hadith of things that happened in Makkah when he accepted Islam in Medina? They were asking Muhajirun, tell us the story, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? And at that time, there were no liars. Nobody was lying. And the stories were fresh in their mind because of their love for the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When you love a man, you don't forget anything that happens between yourself and him. Not to say forget something that he tells you, or forget something that he says in a place where you are. And at the time, people like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As were writing down. Because the people used to abuse Ibn Amr ibn al-As. Now why are you writing everything down from the Prophet? Wahuwa insan yagdab. He could be angry. Why are you writing? Ibn As, Abdullah, he came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He said to him, people are blaming me that I'm writing everything that I hear from you. He has been writing from Makkah. So if you hear Abu Huraira say that statement you mentioned, it is possible. He has been writing from Makkah. So when he came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he told him, Uktub, fa innahu la yakhruju minhu min fami illa haq. Write it, nothing will come from my mouth except the truth. So all of those times Ibn Amr ibn al-As was writing before Abu Huraira came. Most of those reports to Abu Huraira has them. If you want to do dirasa muqarana, go to Musnad Imam Ahmad. Pick the masanid of Abu Huraira, pick the masanid of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. You will see the reports that Ibn al-As will have that Abu Huraira does not have, they are very, very few. All those reports of Ibn al-As, Abu Huraira will take it from him and take it from other than him. There are many ahadiths like that. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that's why when a person wants to abuse our religion, he abuses Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. May Allah protect us all. May Allah protect us all. I just remembered a narration that Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned in Siyar wa'lam al-Nubala regarding Abu Huraira. And when he finished it, he said, Isnaduhu silsilatul a'imma. The isnad of this author, it has what? silsilatul a'imma, chains of reports from one generation to the other, they were all imams. He said in the masjid in Baghdad or in Dimash, in Sham, they were in the masjid like this discussing. Some ulama were there, they were discussing sunnah, hadith and all that. One young man stood up and he started asking the scholars some questions and they would answer. So he asked them, what is the evidence for that statement, O Sheikh? The young man asked the Sheikh after the Sheikh gave the answer. Do you understand? He asked the Sheikh a question. The Sheikh responded to the question. He asked the Sheikh, what is the dalil? The Sheikh says, Hadithu Abi Huraira. The man said, Abu Huraira Sakitun Laysa Bi Hujjah. The reporter said, a snake fell from the roof of the masjid and tied his neck. He struggled to release himself and he started to run. The snake started to pursue him. That is not, Al Imam Al Zahabi said in Siyar wa Lamin Nubala, Rahimahullah, he said, Isnaduhu Silsilatul A'imma. The man was running and the snake was pursuing him, as big as the snake was. When he was running, the people knew that his problem was because he said that Abu Huraira laysa bi hujja. May Allah protect us. So they were saying to him, Tub, repent. He was saying, Tub, Tub, God, Tub, Tub. They said, Tub, repent. He said, Tub, Tub, I have repented. And the snake was pursuing him. Until when he shouted enough that I was repented, they did not see the snake again. This occurs in Siyar wa Lamin Nubala by Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah. And after reporting this attack, he said, wa isnaduhu silsilatul a'imma. So those who abuse Abu Huraira, they never end well. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think it will be sufficient to stop here, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.